Hey, everybody, we took a little two-week vacation, which everybody deserves, but we're back for the Love Report, and this is the special New Year's edition. Today, we're going to talk about a lot of different things, but Patty and I haven't seen each other in a while, so how was Christmas?
Christmas was awesome. We've been shooting straight through, 18 episodes, still not done.
Still not done?
Shooting as we air. Never happened in the history of Bravo television for The Matchmaker. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to go down. I did go down. I broke my toe for the first part of the season. That's why you see me only in flats. Then, after that, I got a resurgence of my cluster headaches, which I haven't had in 2.5 years.
Yeah, because you're supposed to get together a couple of times.
Right. And then, on top of that, I got a sinus infection, which I guess gave to half the crew. I'm like the anti-Patty now. Nobody loves me anymore. And so, we finally had our Christmas party at MC, which is our internal party of just our internal staff you don't see on the show. And
which I missed because I was in Maui.
We have not had our wrap party. We're praying that our producers get it together and spend some buckaroos because, you know, I'm broke after Christmas. And, you know, I give gifts to everyone. I'm like fucking Santa. And I start at Thanksgiving. And I actually start 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. I think I'm going to get a jump start. You know, I start reading all the magazines and picking out those $100 and under gifts, you know. Although I gave away a lot of Apple TVs this year. That was the thing, the Apple TV. Now Chrome came out at $35. Where the fuck were they when I bought the
Chrome
Apple?
Is the same as Apple TV.
Yeah, but it's just cheaper.
$35.
Love Google. And so after it was all done, I said, I'm exhausted. So I pulled a Selena Gomez. She's now dropped out of life. She has lupus. We wish her well. But she said, I'm exhausted from this relationship, from touring, from everybody expecting too much of me. And she just disappeared. And I'm like, I pulled a Selena, and I disappeared. And so spent 2 weeks at home so far, going into my third week for New Year's. And basically, kids came over. We made an anti-Christmas dinner. You'll love this.
What'd you make?
It's ribs, the crock pot ribs, simple. Just put the ribs inside the crock pot with a little bit of barbecue sauce. Put it on 4 hours for high. Don't put more than 5 racks or it won't work. And basically, perfection. Then we put it under the, you know, like the grill and the broiler just to glaze the top with a little bit more. And they come out amazing. Asparagus, we made, what else did we make? We made a ton of stuff. We had lasagna. They had lasagna. I had gluten-free pasta, and it was like a win-win. And then we come out with our famous pumpkin pie, which, by the way, you can only get at Costco. I'm here to tell you Costco has the best pumpkin
You're
pie.
You're kidding.
We've tasted every
It's not full
store.
Preservatives and everything
it is
else?
Fucking off the chain. We bought like 3 of them. They went through them and all. We put vanilla ice cream, a little light Cool Whip. We're done. Put on a little Fred Claus. Love that. For Christmases. You know, we watched all the Christmas movies that we love to hate. And it was fun. I don't know. I'm a Jew that switched over to the dark side. Kill me now. But my mom, bio mom technically is Catholic. And for those of you who see me wear a cross on TV, it's from my jewelry line Jutem that just came out and shot by Bravo. And yes, I have 3 crosses from the collection and I do wear them. And Jesus was a Jew, so eat me.
It's funny. I was texting everybody on Christmas saying happy Immaculate Conception. You know, because it's so funny. Because being in the dating field, we know so many born again virgins.
Oh yes.
You know,
born again virgins,
right?
Born
you know,
again
born
virgins.
Again virgins, right? And so I found it was really funny. I'm like you. I'm like generous as can be to everybody. My maid comes over. I give her a big
no,
check,
I give
right?
Cash.
You know, I give her cash, right? And I took my ex to Hawaii and Maui for like
no,
10
that
days.
That was
different,
that
right?
That was very Bruce Willis of you, I might add.
I know. That was very different. Everybody looked at me. Like, my friends all said to me, one of my friends called me up all concerned. He's like, do you know what you're doing? I said, yeah, I'm going to Maui. I'm going with my ex, who was a really good friend of mine.
Did she bring earplugs with you?
No.
No earplugs, and you still got through it.
Yeah, no.
Because I figured you were going to tune her out, the ex, not the kid.
No, we had a really good time. I mean, it was...
See, I think what happens when you have...
Take the pressure of the relationship.
When you have
off.
A friendship-first relationship, which
yep.
you did... I had with my, not David, but my ex, which we didn't start off with chemistry. We started off with friendship. You can actually go back to friendship. In fact, he started texting me and calling me, wishing me a happy new year. And you know, there was parts of me that kind of missed him with no disrespect to David, because I'm in love with David. But there was this friends first quality, my BFF in crime. It just happened to be he had a penis. And I could go away with him and not touch him. I have no, like, I want to jump on your bones kind of feeling. And I could be normal as this could be. I don't know if he could, but I could.
That's, you know, it's funny. That's exactly how I felt. Because I was there in Hawaii. There was no tension, no fights, no conversations about anything.
It's a secret. We're hung
out.
Away.
Yeah, yep, getting away. We hung out with my daughter. You know, everything was fun. We went out. We had a good time. We laughed. We looked at the beautiful full moon, which I have beautiful pictures of because it was a full moon when I was there. And there was nothing. And it was beautiful. My daughter was great, you know, and she'd stay up till 10 o'clock at night. Of course, you know, at the end she gets so grumpy and she'd look at me and she'd say, don't look at me, Dad. Just a typical little woman.
Oh my
don't
God, that's
look,
so funny.
Don't look at me. And I'm
I don't
like,
have my mascara
yeah,
on.
She goes, don't look at me. I don't like you. Leave, you know. And it's like, well, all right, I'm going to go leave and go in the living room. And then she'd come out like 5 minutes later. But it is. It's like when you have that friendship. Plus the fact is when you have a beautiful daughter that you want to have this, you know, you want to create this beautiful life for, you put your own stuff aside. You know, even when I had like feelings of like, oh, why couldn't she have been loving like that to me? You know, when you still have that pang of that relationship feeling.
You'll see in her eyes, both of you. Like, you know, she looks like you and she looks like your ex because the blonde hair and the coloring and all that. But the truth of the matter is she's the best of both of you. So you have to look at it. Just like when you look at an ex, you know, the ex always brings you to the new boyfriend. And I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, there are days I hate him, and there are days I love him, David. But the days that I love him, which I'm having an I love you phase right now, you know, we all go through peaks and valleys.
Love those phases.
And trust me, everybody, I don't care. Jay-Z and Beyonce go through that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hear, like, nobody goes through this. And I'm having the I love you phase where everything he says, he makes me laugh, and I just want to eat him up with a spoon because he's so gorgeous. And, you know, we were really lazy. I thought we were both exhausted from filming. He was filming this season. And we were going to get roll into bed, get naked, and get sexual. And you know what we ended up doing? Eating pumpkin pie in bed and watching movies straight through and just cuddling. But the cuddling was fucking awesome. The man spooned me.
He spooned you?
He spooned me without asking, but here's the best part. So on the show this season...
That was an uncontested spoon.
It was an uncontested spoon.
Yeah.
So on the show this season, in the finale, we go away to this beautiful resort in Arizona called the Monte Lucia. If you haven't been there, it is probably the best spa in the country. And I hate to say this against Miraval, because Miraval's more camp.
Do you know Miraval had a special?
Yeah, Miraval's
Miraval
camp.
Had a special
Miraval's
the other day.
My favorite.
Yeah.
It's the camp. You go with your girlfriends. But Monte Lucia is where you take your husband or your fiancé or your mistress, for that matter. And basically, we went away, and you're going to see it on the show. They have this amazing crystal, and we both bonded with this crystal. It came from Brazil. It's like, you know, 10 feet tall. And something shifted. And so the show had planned these activities. And one of the activities David didn't know about was a foot massage for Patty that he had to learn how to give. Now, this man that I am with loathes touching the feet. It is Stevie City.
I love the feet.
You had to see his face. Now, I am all about the feet. If you give me the feet, I get an orgasm. So he touched it, and I could see him cringing. And da, 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 da. And out of the blue, the teacher says to him, you know, if you touch her top of her toe, that's her brain, she'll shut down and go quiet. That's all he had to hear. Because every day since we left the Monte Lucia, he's been touching my big toe and rubbing it and saying, how's it feel, babe? How's it feel? Are you getting mellow? Are you getting quieter?
Do you know, it's so funny. That is...
True, that.
Do you remember when Rex Ryan got caught being a foot fetish, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, which was so funny. Do you know that if a woman has beautiful feet, mm-hmm. I can sit there and I can suck... Let me see.
Feet?
Yeah, you have nice feet. You see, you have
little feet.
Okay, you have little feet. That's the key. Little feet are sexy.
And little hands.
Yeah, little hands and little feet are sexy. The problem is some of these women have very long...
If you got
skeletal feet,
right.
I mean, that's
my
cool.
My sister had skeleton feet, and we used to say God started to make a man and changed his mind.
Yes, that's what they look like. They look like men feet. Because I have really nice man feet. I have pretty feet, right? And it's like, because just my mom's got pretty feet. My dad didn't have pretty feet, so my mom has pretty feet. So I got my mom's pretty feet. But women, I love when they have beautiful feet. I could sit there and watch a movie and take that peppermint foot lotion.
Because you always think of
and
that Eddie Murphy
rub
scene where he had spangled toes, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, so he goes and does this foot massage. And now we're home. Yesterday I got a hand massage. I mean, I'm working downtown, girls. I'm getting the downtown eventually. Because he's all over me. And I'm like, who are you? And the secret I found out, now don't call me on this shit that it's wrong, okay? Because he just went away, David, so I know this is for the real. Even if you can't afford to go to an expensive resort, you can get out of town by going to the mountains and doing camping.
So many cheap trips.
So the key is change your environment, and everything changes. You change your environment, you go away, and I mean not go away to the mother-in-law's house, not go away to a place, you know, that you know, your friend's best friend's bedroom. I'm talking about go away. This is the two of you, the chill spot. And see nature. Yesterday we took a drive to Malibu. Now, this is our woods. We live in Marina Del Rey, right on the ocean.
It's so beautiful.
Malibu is like
Malibu.
10 seconds away.
So
we
beautiful.
We took the drive. There wasn't a soul on the road. They were all hungover from Christmas.
How was the people watching yesterday, Malibu?
The people watching was beautiful. Prettiest people I ever saw. We go to Malibu, we go to Martin. It's just like cranking. It was Boxing Day. Everybody's returning their shit. Nope, it was calm as cheap. The only place was Trattoria, the Italian restaurant for the takeout, which was a zoo. And we went shopping because it was 50% off day, even 60%. And all of a sudden, We're holding hands. He's holding my packages. It was like when we first dated, and the reason I fell in love with him, he says to me, do you remember when we came here last? And I said, no. He goes, this was our fourth date. We had gone shopping at the Mart, and I tested him, and I needed a lot of crap that day. I needed a Sephora run, you know, I needed to go to, I needed to return something.
That's why he was in All Saints, because it's right next to Sephora. Right.
We went to Sephora, we went to Marmalade for lunch, and I had to return some shit.
Marmalade's mediocre now.
Well, I mean, I still like it. I like their soups.
Yeah, but anyway, I like the environment.
I had to return some shit to a couple of stores in the Mart. You know, we had to go over to Tory Burch. We had to go over to Kitson. You know, one of those. We had to get crap, you know? And I tell girls, in order to find out if a guy's a really good guy, he has to do two things for you. One, he must go on an errands run for you. How much patience does he have? Does he carry your bags? Does he open the car door? Does he make your life easier? Because that tells you what your future's like. The second thing is, what's he like, okay, in an emergency? Is he the guy that backs away? Whoa, 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 I don't want to talk to him. I'm not going to call 911. You could be dying on the vine with choking, and he's just like, you look ugly. I got to get out of here, you know? You got to find out what they're like. So David carried my packages. Didn't say a word. Didn't mention it. He brings it up. He says, look at me. I'm carrying your packages now. And I went, oh, little things, and I just got jissy-goosey downstairs. And the key
it's
is,
such a beautiful
the key
day,
is, the sun was shining. The surfers were out. The paddleboards were out. I didn't see a shark in sight because we have a million great whites in this area. Never know that when you go swimming.
Yeah, you made me paranoid. You made me paranoid in Maui.
Yeah,
by
Maui
the
has
way,
a lot of shark attacks.
You
right
ruined.
Now.
You
There's
ruined,
no fish in the water for these fools.
You ruined
that's
my.
Why.
You ruined my daughter's mother's swimming.
I'm sorry. I had to call you. You saw the. There's information
the whole time,
all,
the whole
all
time.
Over the internet. The sharks are really swarming Maui out of all the islands in Hawaii, but they're worse in Santa Monica Bay, where I live, because it is the birthing, not the breeding, the birthing ground
yeah,
of the great
that.
White whale. So more sharks are here, and this is where they're tagging. So, you know, I'm like worried for the surfers and work, and David's like, look at the sunshine. What shark is going to come out? Then last night on the news, somebody got their leg got bitten off. I was like, shit! You know, like it was a beautiful day.
Do you know why you're obsessed with that? It's the same reason why, because when you remember Jaws?
Yes.
Opening weekend,
it.
How many
yes.
times did you go?
I only went once because I was terrified.
I went three times opening weekend.
No,
okay,
we saw
and since then,
we were afraid to swim in the lake or let
Fraser Lake. That summer, I read every shark attack book. Do you know shark attacks happen in 3 feet of water or less?
Yeah.
I read every book
Me
on
too.
Sharks.
It's
oh yeah,
3 feet of water.
3 feet of water or less, most shark attacks happen. Okay, so I was in the water that summer up to like my ankles. I used to be this like really blonde, tow-headed kid swimming
it's
out
as
into
white
the water.
As it goes now. It looks like you know a little. Little Casper action here.
No, actually, look, that's some, there's
yeah,
some sun on me.
Yeah, he came back from Hawaii, and I'm like, where's your tan? It looks like the pre-tan before you get sprayed. Seriously.
Well, I'm a little
okay. But anyway, so the sun was shining. The day was gorgeous. We, you know, we went for lunch at a cafe. Then we took the drive to Malibu. We come home. We're a little exhausted. Now we got to go grocery shopping. Now, you figure grocery shopping is where men are like, come on, let's go, let's go. We're Gelson's people,
okay.
Which is the high end of, I like nobody in the store. I don't care that I'm spending twice as much because I don't want anyone, like, to not bag my groceries. I have to have a bagger. Is that wrong?
No.
And if you
Whole
get
Foods,
into,
they baggers
if
you
get
Whole Foods.
In, yeah, Whole Foods is good.
I like Whole
but
Foods.
Whole Foods I do is my healthy supermarket. This is, like, all around. You need the junk.
So you go to Gelson's underneath
and Gelson's has the best produce. So we go to Gelson's, and I'm figuring this is going to kill it. This is going to kill it. We're going to be in the grocery store. He's going to start fetching. I'm going to tell him there's too much sugar in that Frosted Flakes, and we're just going to get into it. No, we went our separate directions. He took the cart. I put shit in. He put shit in. Peace out. It was like the perfect day. Like, I wish this on every one of you out there when you're really shit and you get home. Then, to make all the whole day perfect, he made me dinner. I don't know what happened to this fool. I'm telling you, this is not my boyfriend. Some alien took over it. But I've been wishing for it for Christmas. And I said, for Christmas, he said, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, I don't really want anything. Now, that's how you know you're content. And he said, no, come on, you got to have something. We got to open presents under the tree. You know, we're Christians. You know, we got to have the tree, the whole mishpacha. And I'm like, I'm a Jew. What the fuck do I know? Kanonic is for kids. And so he says to me, no, you gotta know what you want. I said, you know what I really want is for us to have more romance and get along. You know, and he bought me a million things. But the point of the story is that my Santa Claus came a day later and showed up. You know, the kids went home to their mother. They spent half the day on Christmas with us and the night before. And it was still like you could hear a pin drop in our house. And everything was a mess. And I wasn't screaming that there's, you know, wrapping paper on the floor, dishes in the sink, because we had a crazy weekend with the kids. And they're teenagers, so you got to keep on top of the game to keep them amused. They're not like little ones. You can't just put them down for a nap. You know, they're like, what are we doing now? What are we doing now? Like, nothing is fucking open but Chinese restaurants and David H. Chinese. We're not going anywhere, you know? Like
Movies
in the house. Now with DTV, it's like, they don't want to leave the couch. They want to do something, but they don't want to leave the couch. It's a hypocritical thing. So, nonetheless, he made me dinner. He made me, you know, like a chicken bolognese. And I'm sitting here going,
he's a keeper.
He's a keeper. And then I did the dishes. We had a deal. We sat down. We watched Matchmaker together. We waited for his two scenes. Bob, he's out. He had two lines. It was great for the night. Like, they could have put more in with him. And then I switched over to, oh, this was where we got mad at each other. So I taped the Down Abbey 2020 special about all the castles all over Ireland and England, which I'm a Down Abbey fan.
I'd watch that.
And then I taped SNL, the Women of SNL, because, like, what's better than that? Like, when you're bored, right?
On every December, right?
I guess.
I think it seems like a Christmas
thing. I go to watch one, figuring the other one's going to be taped, and David untaped it for sports, because all the fucking televisions in our house are connected to one DTV system, which I've got to figure out how to undo. That's a guy thing.
Yeah.
And he goes, whoops. And I lost half of it. I was like, whoops, really? And there was no re-air of it. So I had to get little pieces here and there.
All right, so I want to tell you something that was really interesting. When I was, you know, when you go to Maui, because Maui's so boring, uh-huh. There's nothing to do but walk the beach and reflect, right?
There's a lot of things to do there. Yeah, you don't like to be active.
No, I'm very active.
All right, name an active thing you did there. Go.
I have a 3-year-old. So, I mean, you know, you're limited to the activity. I mean, you know, I built gigantic sandcastles every day.
You didn't go to Hana?
No,
you
didn't even rent a car. No, just stayed on the beach.
You didn't even rent a car?
Nope, just stayed on the beach.
You didn't rent a car and go to Hana?
Nope.
Can you even take the trip to Costco like everybody does? Nope. Loaded up at Whole Foods.
Right by the airport now, there's a new one.
Oh, you gotta go all the way over there.
Yeah, so we...
But you didn't go to Kanapali and walk the town and everything?
Not with a 3-year-old.
What
she wanted to do was have Daddy build... I'd build giant castles every day.
You could have taken the catamaran to Lanai. That's a fun trip for the day and see the pineapple plantations that was.
Yeah, not when you got a 3-year-old that's got, like, ADD... You know, I mean, literally, because all they want to do is just play.
What's the name of the town? It's Kanapali Beach, and then there's
Lahaina.
Lahaina's the cool part, where all the little tchotchke stores are.
Yeah, we didn't do any of that. Just relaxed. I mean, it was
nice. You could have done that here. It was beautiful here, bro.
I know, but I built so many castles. It was amazing. But I want to reflect one thing, one of the most important, you know, because you go through, like, year-end inventory in your brain, right?
Yeah.
And I want to reflect one of the most important days, okay? It was a couple days after my birthday when I came here. Mm-hmm. And you kicked my ass, and I want to thank you, okay? Because this is the time. This is the time of year.
Did you break up with Emily?
I was dating Emily, right?
Yeah.
And my birthday came, right?
Now, mind you, you have to understand, Emily is my sex expert on Patty Knows, and David is my dating expert. Do I want the two of them to break up? No, but when it's wrong, it's wrong. When one person is taking advantage of another, as much as I love you, Emily, you know what you did. Okay, I have to call it like I see it, just like on the show.
And you did. And it was so funny. It was right after my birthday, and you looked at me and you said all the things that you've done for her. She couldn't spend your birthday. She couldn't spend the birthday with you. You know, it's like she could have changed her travel plans. Fucking, she's a selfish, blah, blah, blah. And like, boom, that was it. That was a quick 30-second conversation about it. Patty intervention. Then, you know, I think, you know, there's a couple other women that were sitting in there. They intervened too, right? And then blah, blah, blah. And it took me a couple of months to get that.
She had the ex-sex thing. They had great sex.
Great sex.
But the whole my way or the highway and Emily's part was overbearing to him as a 50-something-year-old man with a kid. He's not going to play the games anymore just to get sex because sex is on every street corner in L.A. However, they had a connection. And you had a lot in common. You both were in the same industry.
Yep, a lot in common.
She was your body type. She was your personality type. How could this dream of a year, it was a year relationship, to go poof? That was the question mark. Where did it go wrong? What road did we take off? And what we realized was, no, she is one of those people that lives for her.
Yeah.
She's a moment girl. Now, moment girls are great if you're 25, not if you're 40-something. And moment girls eventually have to pay the piper for the other person's side. Because truthfully, when you're a moment girl, a guy who's smart enough is going to wise up and say, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? And it can't just be my dick is getting licked. Right?
And that was the first time. We were 6 months into the relationship, 5-6 months in the relationship, and it was the first time in my life that I actually was so present. Because that's what this year was, getting me really present. Like, I'm very patient now. Mm-hmm. You know, projects that take longer, I'm no longer anxious.
Me too,
right?
And I don't get upset right, like when upset, they go wrong.
Right, I don't get upset anymore. Like,
me
like,
what,
like,
what when, like, is this like, getting, is this
no,
getting
it's because
older?
It's because we're successful. And we know that whatever we do is going to be successful. If it takes longer, it takes longer.
Okay, so I have like four projects that fell apart this last year.
Me too.
And it wasn't my time to go to the next level. This is something I really want to talk about. So
wait, let me finish this because
okay,
I want to thank you for this.
Finish your thing, and
I
want to
thank you. So this to me, I was finally present, and I realized, okay, that even though she's absolutely, she's a beautiful, amazing, vibrant woman, I deserve better, and I deserve more,
and I
deserve more. And I was able to walk away. Now, normally, and this is the funny part, normally I would have married him. Or moved her in.
Divorced him.
Right? I would have married her and moved
bills,
her in. Right?
Pay
even
their
you,
bills.
Right? Pay their bills, right? Because I'm generous.
Pay their bills when they were divorced because they weren't on the
oh, yeah, absolutely.
You would have felt guilty, cancer boy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? I've got so many people on the payroll, but it doesn't matter because I can afford to have people on the payroll. And I looked at it this way. It's like when I die, my daughter will have a little less money, okay? But she'll still have a ton of money and she'll be set for life and that's beautiful. But with her, Emily, I would have moved her in. That's what I would have done. I would have moved her in. I would have helped her through all her neurotic breakdowns consistently. I would have always been, it would
when
have been
was
about.
This, when was this the time? Last time I saw you? What month?
November.
November.
Yeah, I would have like done all this stuff and I realized it's like I finally broke the curse. Like whatever curse I
so
have.
So you're
like,
Sagittarius?
Cancer.
You said with your birthday. Okay, so then.
Yeah, my birthday. So in November.
Was the birthday was the defining point.
Defining
the,
point, but
okay,
it took
so
me.
Okay, let's go back. So
okay.
The birthday's the point
birthday's
of entry
the point.
Where you are not who I thought you were.
Yes.
What happened? We were a couple. We were on our road to whether we were getting married or moving in.
Oh, yeah.
We were in love. I would do for you. You would do for me. Because that is true love when you sacrifice.
It was I would do
as
for her.
As David would say, when I give you the remote, you know that I truly love you. Especially, you know, when the playoffs are on. Or when the World Series are on. Because every now and then he has to give me the remote during a terrible, terrible sports time. And usually it's because he's got some superstition, like if he watches, he's not going to get it. So I'm like, really, what's in it for you? What, you can't watch today? You're like, I'm not stupid, I'm onto him. But true love is putting the other person's needs before your own.
Yep.
And when it's your birthday, holla, 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 when you did such a great thing for her, you would think she would up to 24.
Hey, can you imagine? I took her to Mexico for 2 weeks. For her birthday, I took her to Palm Springs. I don't ask, you know me, I don't, you and I don't ask
okay.
for much.
So
we just ask
was,
for the little
the birthday,
thing. If you help us.
The birthday was July,
yep.
Right? And then up comes Sagittarius, Scorpio period in November, right before Thanksgiving, and you had an epiphany. And the epiphany was, my needs are not getting met. What's in it for me? I haven't seen her that much in the last 6 months.
No.
See, time heals all. See, what people don't tell you is, if you don't spend time with the person who broke your heart or disappointed you in any way, eventually the body has an energetic mind of its own. It's kind of like it's preset for that. So your brain is going to shut off and go, hey, I can live without her. And my mother says, if you can live without them, they're not the one.
Okay,
so
but here,
there
wait,
you had to go through that
here,
period of living without them.
Oh, yeah, here's what's really interesting, okay, is that I wasn't even disappointed. I was, the fact of the matter is, I was able to look
you
at her.
You thought it was going to be worse than it was. Your mind was
right. I actually looked at her from the minute you and I talked, and I looked at her and said, she can't capably give me what I need, and it's okay, because I finally accepted. And that was a big epiphany. That was
like
that was aha. I was like, oh my God, I did it.
By the way, being a dating expert for both of us, it's 20 times harder for us to face the music than it is for you, because you get us to coach you. We don't get anyone. We have each other, and if the other is not around, we have to suck it up. You know, because we're the experts. So a lot of times we don't want to face the music. We live in the idea of love. A lot of people are in love with the idea of what love is like. So you fantasize. You pull a little Abraham Hicks. You do a little law of attraction, a little secret action, and you live in the fantasy. And that's great in theory if there's no one in your life. But if there's someone in your life, you're trying to break the energetic connection. You know, we call that cutting the cord in metaphysics. You really need to do it. Like, you can't just talk about it and fantasize, but you have to preach. So most times, the anticipation of losing that person, having to spend one night alone without them in bed, or getting the morning cup of joe breakfast with them, or getting that daily night phone call to say goodbye, is more excruciating than when the actuality is. And you just, once every day leads you to the end. Finally, one day you go, I don't care. I'm over it. Who's next? The minute you start looking, anyone in the middle of a breakup or just got broken up or dumped, the minute you start looking for if you're gay, the same sex, if you're opposite sex, straight, and you start looking at other people, oh, he's cute. Oh, he's hot. I wonder if he has a ring on. I wonder if he's...
Oh, you're turning the energetic light back on.
All of a sudden,
yep.
The world shifts and it's like,
oh, yeah.
I'm free. I'm free. I don't have it anymore. And you don't even get the ichies anymore. You don't even think of it. You just think of them as an afterthought, a nonchalant. Like, Did I date them? Really? I don't remember. Like, Dave was talking about one of my ex-boyfriends yesterday. I dated a porn star, crazy porn star. And Dave was like, what would have happened if the world knew? I said, you know what? I probably would have had my 10 minutes of tabloid bullshit, and then it would have been over. But he's like, it still wouldn't be great for your brand. I said, David, you know what? Who cares? I don't even think about him anymore. Like, I couldn't even remember. He asked me a question about this guy. I couldn't remember one thing about him. I'm like, I forgot his last name. Like, that's the kind of thing that happens. You all of a sudden get, you know, romantic amnesia, and you forget shit, and then all of a sudden you realize you're healed. The heart starts to soften and open and get more pink and more vibrant, and then the world looks like a better place because now you're a free agent to explore newbies. And no matter if you're 18 or 80, if you're listening to this and you're in the nursing home and you think, you know, my pee-pee still works and I can't find love, there's an old lady across the hall who's going through the same shit you're going through. Just open your eyes, because love is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. I don't care if you go to the gas station. I saw yesterday at Costco a guy hit on me. David and I were separate. You know, he goes to electronics and I go over to food. And so I'm like looking at the new food, and you know, they have all these new, you know, packaged goods. Like, I'm reading the ingredients, and a guy says, "Hey, I love your show." And and my hand was in my pocket, so he couldn't see my ring. And he says, "You know, I live in Venice, and I don't know if you're single, but I'd love to take you out." And this guy was a good-looking 59-year-old. Like, he was close to 60.
But he had it. He had the effect, right?
He had the gorgeous Harrison Ford in his back in his day look. That, you know, the
before he smoked too much pot.
Right, and he had 25-year-old twins, two boys that were off in New York, and he was telling me a story, and he's like, you know, I moved out here 2 years ago. I had a condo out here. I gave everything up in New York. I'm retired. You know, good living. He owned a big real estate firm. And so he had a lot of money, Rolex on, dressed nice, the jeans, the boots, but rugged, like surfer.
But at Costco,
He came out here to surf, actually. And so I'm thinking to myself, had I not been with David, that would have been a guy I would have said yes to. Which means my lights weren't even on. I was reading the ingredients. I had no makeup on. I looked grungier than grudge. He noticed me. I love your show. I love your show. And yes, that might be my calling card for the entry into it, because he had a commonality to talk to me about. But the bottom line is, he was into me. He was checking my boobs out. He looked at my ass when I walked away. I noticed it all. And I'm thinking, God, if I broke up with David, I've got backup. And that's what I mean. This guy was 60 and still looking. There are men and women all over this country.
All ages.
Every age under the sun that are single. The divorce rate is through the roof. People are getting married at 29 and up. That's the highest age in the history of humanity, by the way, statistically, in the census. Not to mention, California alone is 50-50. So a girlfriend of mine said, I can't meet a guy in my own age group. I don't want to live in Florida, because, you know, she's in her 60s. And I said, you know, Florida would be most people's choice, but I really love Arizona. Do you golf? She goes, not only do I golf, I play tennis. I said, get your ass out and spend a weekend at Sanctuary. She goes out to Sanctuary 3 weeks ago. She called me up yesterday. She said, FYI, it worked. I met three guys. I'm dating them all. In fact, I'm thinking of buying a condo, which is very inexpensive in Arizona.
So cheap.
Right, so cheap. It's like Vegas. It's like Nevada. And she said, and I joined a golf club that I can use all over the world. So she can go to Ireland and play golf, and then she can go to Florida and play golf. Like, she's a golf guru, you know? And so the women are usually subservient in golf community. Men get the first tier on the course in the morning, and the women are second. This community that she's in, I'll find out the name of it, I don't know the name, is all equal. So the key is, you partner up with a man, which, you know, old school golf, you couldn't do that. Where I grew up in New Jersey and you grew up, you
are
could
you
never
kidding me?
Go. My parents you... always... Right, you had to do separation.
No. There were
city.
Time.
Right.
Remember, men played before noon.
Exactly.
Women
were
only allowed, of course, after noon. You were not allowed. You couldn't see a woman on the course at 8 o'clock in the morning.
If it rained in the morning, the men got to push back, and the women didn't get it for the day. So this community encourages parents without partners. They encourage couples to golf up, like, you know, so they can make friends and family. It's a very social community, and she joined this golf club, and it led her to all these men through the hotel at Sanctuary. And I thought, what a cool thing. And these are things that David and I are going to start researching. Where can you meet people when you have off time? This is not just for the wealthy, by the way. If you're struggling financially, okay, Sierra Club has 18 to 80 age groups. They have different groups. I just found this out yesterday. So a lot of my friends love to hike, and they all go into Runyon Canyon here in LA. That's the big
hiking
community.
People still do that.
Sierra Club has picnics once a month, and they break it out in age groups. Like if you're 40 to 60, you know, if you're 20 to 30, they do it, they break it up, and they like to do an even split. So if you didn't get in time and there's only 50-50, you can't get in because they don't want to make as many men equal to women, not the other way around. And it's a new thing. It's not expensive. I think it was like, I don't know, $30 for the year for membership, and then you pay for your picnic shit, you know, and that kind of stuff. Like they were at sodas or something. And I thought to myself, this is a cool thing. Get outdoors. I have a theory. The best men are in the day. Do you think I'm wrong on this?
No, best women are in the day.
Right.
In the best day. People
you
are in the
day.
You
used to go to Whole Foods and pick up a
all
million.
All the time.
So anyway, so that's a little bit about dating. But I wanted to talk about when your time is not here. All right. A lot of people are jealous around Christmas. A lot of engagements.
A lot of depressed people.
A lot of marriages.
Yep.
The girls will get married New Year's Eve. I fear for you because if that ends up relationship ends,
people will get
you'll be screwed for
people
New
get proposed to.
My
you
grandparents
know.
Got married on New Year's Eve, guys. Okay.
Christmas proposals tend to never last.
So a lot of people are getting these huge rings right now, and you might be the bridesmaid, or maybe never even a bridesmaid. Okay, so we see, you know, Evelyn, who is married to the baseball player. She just got the $1.5 million ring from Basketball Wives. Yeah, you knew her. There's a whole bunch of people right now that got these huge kick-ass, my ring is bigger than Kanye's, my ring is bigger than Beyonce's. Like, it's just like crazy ring time. And then I look at girls who are normal. Keira Knightley has a 1-carat from her husband. And Lauren Conrad, my favorite little girl, got a 2-carat from her law school boyfriend. All right, so there's people that are realistic. There are those like, you know, the Britneys of the world that had bought the ring and everyone believed Kevin Federline had this cash. Or the Jay Wow who's getting
Kevin
pregnant. Jay Wow who just got pregnant and her trucker boyfriend spent like $700,000 on a ring. Yeah, like that would ever happen. So like don't be jealous and envious. Okay. So your time may not be right. My mother used to say, you know, the best is for last. Well, sometimes you gotta sit on it and wait. And so I'm going through a business crunch where I can't get to the next level. So every person's like, how come you're not on the cover of magazines? How come you don't have features? How come you're not on Late Night and Jay Leno and, you know, Fallon and all these places? And I'm feeling really depressed and the housewives are everywhere.
Right, because you hear that from people which constantly...
They're looking at my career.
Right, they look at your career instead of them looking and going, God, you've done so great. They look, how
come
you're not...
What's wrong with you?
Well, that's because we're destined as human beings because we always want to get there.
Right.
But the real thing is we're never going to get there.
Right, exactly.
There doesn't exist.
So I've been through a million publicists and they've all been major players in the industry. They've all taken my money and they haven't done anything. And
they all took the money.
I have so much work that I end up doing at the day plus their work. So I'm like a full-time job. Right, between my business and the show and producing, and I've got a new jewelry line, I've got a wine coming out in March, so there's a lot of shit going on, right?
You got all the products
and I got the products in my so it took a year and a half to get my website back, Patty knows, and re-clean it up with David to make this podcast for you. It took a year. She knows was running it, and they basically were in the middle of selling it, and they kind of put it on the stall because they were in the middle of flux with the contracts, and they didn't tell me. And gratefully to myself, I'm a smart businesswoman to go, either I'm going to sue you for money or give me back my website. So they gave me back my website. Okay. So that took a year. Then I had to get e-commerce. Then I had to get these products moving. And we went through 55 deals this year. I can't tell you how many deals I had signed. In fact, one, Teresa had done the same thing with House of New Jersey, which was a cosmetics thing you saw last season on the show. And it never came to fruition. And I got depressed about 3 months ago. And David sat me down, who's going through a major career crunch right now. He's in the middle of changing careers. I'm trying to get him more into an artistic field because he's great with photography and especially, you know, couples and landscapes.
His pictures are beautiful.
His pictures are beautiful. David just got her daughter's pictures taken. And he's amazing, you know, just amazing at websites. He creates great websites. And he's scared to go off on his own because he's always worked with him. And he finally sat me down and said, what do you have? I said, what do you mean what I have?
Ooh,
he goes,
I like that.
Make a list. Of everything.
He made you do your wins.
Right, and I said, oh my God, I got a lot. And I'm making a lot of money. And I still want more. How greedy am I? And then he doesn't realize I'm in the world of all these asshole celebrities, and a lot of them are assholes, who are so into the fame game. I have to be everywhere. I've got to be in every cover of every tabloid. I've got to be at every event. I've got to have the perfect dress, the it dress in the moment. I've got to get the Birkin. I mean, like, seriously, how many people can afford $15,000 bags enough with no pockets? I mean, this thing is crazy, this Birkin thing. And I said, whoa, 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 that's not really me. I'm a Jersey girl.
You are.
I'm a jeans and flip-flops down the shore girl, and this ain't me. What am I doing? I'm getting caught up in competition.
Think about the car you drive. You drive a 3 Series, not a 5, not a 7,
no,
not a 6.
I don't buy them. right? Six bits. I live between my mids and I save. So anyway,
yeah.
I was getting caught up in the competition of I should be bigger than Bethany. I should be bigger than Nene. I should be bigger than Jill, who's my best friend. And you know what I realized? I'm perfectly where I am. So astrologically speaking, I look at everyone's charts and I itemize where the planets are going to be, what your progressions, which is your future, and what's your crisis that you have going on at that moment in time, not to mention natally, which is when you were born, some shit happened that you've got to overcome in life. And mine is, for those people who know astrology, is Venus square Saturn, which makes me believe I'm not beautiful, I'm not good enough, hence my adoption. And second of all, men don't like me, thus the matchmaker. Right. But there's also an image thing going on. Right now, I'm not going to bore you with the transits, but there's an image thing where transit-wise, my business will be up and down a little bit till February. And then after 30 years, something magical happens in my chart, which my sun goes into Leo, progress sun, which is where J-Lo and all these famous Leos live, which is the fame, Ben Affleck, these people who are untouchable. You know, they have this kind of magic pixie dust. No matter what shit, you know, Jennifer...
Ben Affleck,
Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck were the biggest shits in the world when they were engaged.
Remember how many bad movies he did?
And that jiggly movie, they tanked the floor, and you thought no one could come back for them. As magical as they are, their charts lends itself.
Argo.
Kim Kardashian's chart is, like, perfect. It's in the 10th house of fame. She can do nothing but powder her lips, and the world will love her. It's just the crazy. Okay. So good shit is happening. And what I realized in this next year coming up, which is my year, that in 2014 and 15, is that my time will come. So for those people listening to me, it's not about me, it's about you. Your time in love will come. If you're in the middle of a divorce, it's always darkest before the dawn. Think of Chloe and Lamar. She went through shit this last year. And trust me, she will come out on the other side, and he won't because of the crap that he pulled. You are going through the same thing. You will be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, God saves the best for last because those survivors of those experiences, he needs to work a little harder with. They've been a little bit war-torn. Their emotions are a little bit more sensitive. He's got to give them more time to just gel and just clean up their wounds. And eventually, everyone gets their due. You know, I really believe that. So if you're going through a really bad breakup, a divorce, you don't have love, you haven't had a date in 100 years, your time, your number will come up. Everybody's number. I have never seen this fail in my entire life. I don't care how old you are, how fat you are, how ugly you are.
How dorky you are, how nerdy you are.
How nerdy you are, how stupid you
are. How insecure you are.
How poor you are. Your number will come up. It definitely will come up. You just got to have faith and hope. And the key is to look at what you have and not what you don't have. And if it's one thing, if you have somebody that loves you in this world, whether it's your mother, your best friend, your dog. I love my dog more than anything else in the world. My dogs. Know that you're loved. That love can transcend emotionally, energetically, to that other person to come forward. Because all it needs is that. It's like catnip to cats. You get that sense of, I'm loved, I'm relaxed, I'm happy with the love I have. It's contagious. I have never seen more people gravitate to other people that were complete opposites. One was better looking than the other. One was richer than the other. One was taller than, you know, you see a female taller than the man. And you go, what is it? Their chemistry is energetically simpatico. That's why they were drawn to each other in the first place. It's not just about he's rich, I'm poor, he's better looking, I'm not. It's not about who has more muscles at the gym. It's an internal, I like myself. I feel good about myself. And bitch, my number will come.
Don't ever think about what you don't have. Don't compare yourself to anybody else.
Your competition ruins.
Yep, and embrace.
It pushes it away.
And embrace what you do have, because then you work from a position of strength, not a position of weakness. And so many people constantly are saying, I'm not this and I'm not that. And I do. And I want to get my chart redone. I haven't my chart done
okay,
in a long
time. Okay,
so
I'll
time.
Do your so chart again.
Do my chart again, because I'm really curious.
For instance, I was looking at my Twitter followers, and I get these, you know, I have 346,000 Twitter followers, and everybody screams at me, I don't have enough, I should be at 900, a million. I'm like, you know what? These are my peeps. Whoever wants to come on, join the parade. I encourage men now to come on. We need some straight men, not just gay men. Or gay women.
We have a lot of women.
We need a lot of women. I really want at Patty Stanger and at David Wygant for them to bring on men, because straight men encourages the conversation to, we want to know what the other side.
Not only they can flirt with each other.
Right, they can flirt. And you can also, I can fix you up on
yeah,
Twitter.
You can
if
meet.
You start doing.
You can meet on
right,
Twitter.
So here's the thing. Okay. So I use Twitter for all my mixers. Whenever I want to have a mixer, off camera on, we sound the alarm. And as you saw this last episode, this last week, the Christmas episode, we actually show that it worked. That's where people found us, on Twitter. So listen to Twitter all the time. But more importantly, my 345,000 are engaged. Now, I don't know about someone else's million or 2 million or 10 million. I don't know if the Kardashians are engaged. And most of the times, they're just monetizing it with things they're selling. When I promote shit, maybe 1 out of 10 is something that I own. 9 out of 10, today I promoted Bobbi Brown lipsticks because somebody asked me, what lipsticks do you wear? And I go, Bobbi Brown. Now, Bobbi Brown just tagged me and said, which ones, which colors? Because they'll probably send me some, which is nice, but I didn't ask for that. I might do a protein bar, you know, that Yasana is my favorite new protein bar. It's gluten-free. And I just showed it because I couldn't believe that gluten-free products were starting to become the norm in grocery stores. So, or gluten-free.
Now you got to hope that they're non-GMO.
Right. No GMO. All of them said no GMO.
Yeah, you got to no GMO.
Right. So, which is modified. It's actually...
It's corn the size of Lamar.
Right. Corn that's modified by steroids out in the field.
So it's corn that looks like Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, but it's not
the
real corn.
Patriots
it's not the real corn. It's just like what they're doing with the chickens with the steroids.
Yeah.
So anyway, but the point of the story is that my people are engaged. So maybe you don't have 20 friends. Maybe you're like, not. My sister's one of those that gathered. We called her the Wandering Jew. She was sleeping over everyone's house, you know, every night. And Wandering Jew is a plant, for those who don't know it. And so
my mother used to grow
right,
those.
Right. So Wandering Jew was a big plant back on the East Coast. And my sister was coined the Wandering Jew because every night she slept at a friend's house. And she had more friends than Carter or, you know, Advil has in their company, right? And I would laugh and say, but how many real friends do you have? Now, I always had two good girlfriends. It was the three amigos. And, you know, like, everyone tried to make me feel bad growing up. Those were my two friends. I'd have two friends at camp and two friends in high school. And I liked a smaller posse. I could be more popular. They always invited me to parties. And I was like, they were kind of nasty girls, mean girls. I didn't really believe that they were really my friends. It was a falsehood friendship. You know, very much like you see in The Housewives, where they're all friends for the show, but then behind closed doors, they hate each other's guts. So it wasn't real. Think about this. How many friends do you really have? And I'm sure one of you has at least one, right? Isn't that better than 10 false friends? Okay? Having 5 relationships that didn't work, isn't that better than never having a relationship because it shows you're getting closer and closer to the target? Okay? Having no relationships, isn't that better than having 60 bad ones? Think about it. I contradicted myself on that, but everybody is different. It's not a one-size-fits-all for everybody.
I've got a friend who's really interesting. He makes $1 million a year. He has 1,000 people in his organization, right? That's how, you know, he newsletter, marketing, and everything else, 1,000 people. And people look at me, how do you do it? He says, I have a relationship with every single person on my list.
Yeah,
he goes,
sure you do.
he does. I've never built, he says, it's all network marketing that he does, right?
Yeah, so it's an email.
So,
spam.
Yeah, so it's email. So no, it's actually people who work underneath him, and he does training calls every day and stuff like that. He goes, but everybody's always trying to find.
Effect.
Yeah, everybody's always trying to find, you know, all these people. They got to be the most popular person. This, that. It's how you engage people, and that's about authenticity.
Well,
that's all about your authenticity,
new,
too.
The new thing is FOMO, fear of missing out. Fear of missing out is a new thing. It's actually probably going to make it to the disease book soon because it's become like an OCD, ADD. You'll probably be medication in the next year for it.
Easily.
And FOMO is fear of missing out. You get invited to 5 parties, but you can't go to all. You got to pick one. Oh my God, what if I pick the wrong party, not the coolest party, not the party that's been written at on page 6, okay? God forbid, you have no Christmas or New Year's date. Oh my God, I'm missing out. Well, maybe you need that time to readjust, spend quiet time with yourself, and just look at your tree yourself. Like, everybody is not the same person. There is no one size fits all. When Selena took a break this year, people were worried about it. Why is she taking a break? Did Justin break her heart so bad? She had a little conniption at the iHeartRadio event, you know, for Ryan Seacrest, the Jingle Ball. And, you know, she got upset because the sound wasn't right. And it kind of showed that she was losing her patience. Now, this girl's in her 20s. What's she, like 21?
Yeah,
22?
Baby.
She has lived 3 lifetimes more than most of us because she started very young as a Disney kid. And if you know Disney, they own your ass. Okay? So she's worked herself to the bone. And then they tell you today that she had lupus. She needs a break. The woman has a disease. The kid needs a break from
herself.
They overworked her. She was a
and then allow her to be a kid.
And she probably asked 5,000 times to take a break, and they said, no, you have commitments, no contracts.
She probably has to be a kid.
You'll be sued, right? So now she finally screamed, I need a break! And they heard her. They heard her. God bless her. And the next picture you see on Twitter is something that was beautiful. She's holding her little baby sister. Her sister's like not even a year old. Her mom had a baby. And she's holding it up and cooking Christmas dinner. And you got to see the happy on her face. Being at home, being with her mom, being with her dog, being with her family, being with the Christmas presents, and holding her little baby sister. She needed to take it back to center. Do you need to take it back to center? Do you need to say, I got to get off this treadmill to nowhere? Are you just one of those people that just thinks if you keep going at this pace, you're going to, you know, hit the target? Because you're fucking not. You're going to destroy your mind, your brain, your body, and your soul. Get off the grid. Take a detox. I said this on Twitter a couple weeks ago. I said, it's okay. If dating isn't working for you, a site's not working,
get off.
Dates, get off. Take 2 months off. Take 3 months.
Get off.
I don't care if you take a year off. I took a year off once. I didn't date one person for a year. I was in my 30s.
It wasn't working.
And yeah. I took a break. I needed to recalculate. It was a very tense time. My mother was getting married and my sister and I weren't getting along and I lived in Florida and everything was just fucked up. I lost my job. It was a terrible time for me. And I needed to take a break. And when I took that break, I moved to California. It led me to this place because I couldn't clear my mind fast enough. If you're one of those people that feel your mother's pressuring you, your father's pressuring you, the family's saying you're a loser because you're single, like if you're Jewish and you're Christian or you're Mormon and the religion is leading the parade, say tough titties. If God wants me to be married, I will. Take a break. It's okay.
It's so funny because I did that too. I was meeting Sons of Women Whole Food, never meeting somebody who sparked me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to the same place every day. I took a break. And when I took a break, what happened next was I ended up meeting somebody somewhere else because I no longer put that energy, because that's what people are doing. They're on Match.com. They're on OkCupid. They're on all these sites. They go to the bar every Friday night. They're putting all this energy towards
that. God forbid they miss something.
Right, because they don't want to miss something. So the thing is, take it away. Stop going to the hunting ground all the time and do something you enjoy. And guess what happens? The law of attraction kicks in, and all of a sudden you just stumble across somebody. But let me tell you, we're out of time.
We're out of time. I could sit and talk about all these. We haven't even gotten to New Year's resolutions and what's yours.
We'll talk about them next
week. We've got so much stuff to talk about. We're just catching up. Sometimes it's not always about advice. Sometimes it's just about our lives, which relate to you. We hope you enjoyed this.
And next week, we'll talk a little about New Year's resolutions because we'll be
seven or eight days
into the new year, yeah. Which means that everybody's already broken theirs anyway. So what we'll do next week is we'll actually get you back on track, because New Year's resolutions are the most overhyped bullshit thing in the entire world.
I personally think your New Year's resolution should be one, not two, not three. People overload the list. And I personally feel it should be small. Baby steps before you run or walk.
See you next week on The Love Report. For everybody who has never listened before, go to pattyknows.com. Sign up to get The Love Report every single week.
And follow David Wygant and Patty Stanger on Twitter, because our advice is 24/7.
Yeah, we're always on there. And one last thing, okay? You got to do one thing, okay? And this is one thing you do for New Year's. New Year's, you give a gift to everybody else. You pass this along to four other people. Four of your friends need to listen to this, because you need to be on the same page as your friends in 2014, because your support group is always what screws you up. And we'll talk about that next week.
Ooh,
see you next week
one.
On The Love
that's
Report.
That's a good one. Isn't I've never it? Had a good support group.
Yeah,
because I want to hear about this.
Well,
this
yeah, because they do that all the time.
I'm always a lone rider.
Well, think about it. Then when you go to your friends for the support, they go, oh, that, you can't do that.
So I always hate hearing the negativity. You got to have people positive negative. Support group. People who believe what you believe, or get the fuck out of Dodge.
See you next week.
See you next week.